Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special two-hour edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, the only wrestling show not bought up by Donald Trump.
Whoa! Yeah, that one was pretty much it. Yeah.
That was weak.
Yeah. Don't worry. Pretty soon, in about 6 weeks, I won't have to do that opening joke. It'll be done for me. Well, two-hour show, ladies and gentlemen, and we have quite a bit to go through. We're going to delve into some around the horn. Then we got pick'ems for Slammiversary, I do believe. And then, well, I then throw the keys over to Nikki Heyman while the boys go out and play. Girls will be here to stay next week.
That's right. We have off next week. Oh, I love that. Let the women do some work this time.
I'm not sure how to take that.
Well, we shall see. No.
That's how you take that.
As I slowly reach away from Nikki fearing reprisal, even though I didn't say anything.
No.
I don't swing hard. I'm a manager. I can't do that much damage.
Yes, because with the percentiles of, I think the wrestling percentile is as follows. Women are about 60% as strong as men. You divide that by three when it comes to a manager, unless they have prior wrestling experience. That's only divided by 1.25. So that would mean women managers are pretty weak, unless their name is Natalya Neidhart, which she does double duty. That means her strength is twice that of a regular woman wrestler.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I flunked this part of math.
Yes. Anyways, moving on. Only three people to start off the show, but more will be coming on along as we play. First of all, the Duke of New York, VRM.
I know I've already asked this, Rob, but I'm going to ask it on the air. What the hell is Brian Garrett smoking?
Well, let's see here. Probably, that stash he keeps on hoarding away from people who want to do that stuff during the show. See, that's how Raw comes up with all the stupid stuff. All the marijuana that they supposedly get away from the wrestlers. That's how they feel the Raw creative team. Next up, the Queen of Ohio-based managers, Nikki Heyman.
But in other news, the WWE Women's and Divas division has their work rate doubled with the future endeavoring of Candice Michelle.
Oh, I got a proper soundbite for that.
Thank you.
Yeah! Fire! Yes!
Oh,
very good.
Yes.
I was expecting Angle. That's better.
No. Put it this way. She's in the same injury wing as Dave Bautista.
Or Kennedy.
Yeah.
And then finally, Lillian Garcia's future ex-husband, Jason Block.
In video game news, if you don't cop the new Ghostbusters, the video game for your new system, you are being very disappointed. It's a great, great, fun game. Very cool.
I thought you already used that one, Rob, like sometime last year.
Well, anyways, Jason wasn't here last week, and we had actually we had a story about Lillian Garcia.
Yeah, I read about that. it's either one of two things. Either they want to have a female SmackDown announcer, which I think is what they're looking for, or they are going to try and replace Lillian Garcia, and if they do, I'll be burning down Titan Towers pretty quick.
Or, as we like to call it, Jason Smash!
Yes. Pretty much, yeah.
Final answer.
You're leaving, I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'll bring the cameras.
No, if you really, I mean, Lillian's been on Raw and for what, 10 years now? WWE for 10 years?
Yeah, WWE for 10 years. She's actually the longest running woman that's in that position right now. In any WWE position right now, not named McMahon.
Okay, well, yeah, so I'm just saying, do you think they want to skew younger? I mean, she's what, in her mid 30s?
She looks 22 to me.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to look to see how old Lillian Garcia is. So just give me one quick second here. Could you just mute the voice muted for a second? Thank you. Sorry, I'm just getting my laptop here. So just a moment. While I look that up.
Well, Jason scrounges through onlineworldofwrestling.com.
No, it's not that. It's I'm actually just doing the old Wikipedia thing, so just give me a second.
Oh. Well, Wikipedia is fun, too. VRM, any word on Typho?
No, he's not on yet, although he usually is on for, he's on for TNA, and he's on for ECW because his show goes on right after ECW, so...
She's 35. Lillian Garcia is 35. So, I mean, is that old in WWE woman speak?
Yes.
Probably. That's insane. Mm-hmm. If they're trying to replace Lillian Garcia, that's insane. Just nuts.
I say once she leaves, she's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Stop that.
All right. But, Robert?
Yeah?
You need one more person for around the horn, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we just go into some sort of news and notes sort of deal while we're at
sure.
it?
Sure.
Well, actually, he needs two more people because I'm not going to do it because I haven't been paying attention enough again.
All right. Well, first of all, I think the most important sort of news event of the past week was unfortunately the death of Mitsuharu Misawa.
Yeah. It's hard for me, though, to talk about Misawa, not because that I liked the guy, not because I liked the guy or I hated the guy. I was in the position where I didn't know who he was.
Not many people outside of the Japanese wrestling fan base did. However, a lot of people within the Japanese wrestling community and the Ring of Honor community knew who Mitsuharu Misawa was. Because I believe he wrestled for Ring of Honor for a long time. Am I correct, Nikki?
I'm not the one to ask on that. The claim to fame I have on him is just the fact that he's the one who founded and was running Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan.
Okay. Which got a lot of stars here to the United States.
Absolutely.
And vice versa.
And the fact that there were two Americans in the ring during the match that felled him, Ring of Honor stars Bison Smith and Chris Hero.
I bet that had to be hard for Chris Hero.
It was, and it was much exemplified in his blog, because he was in that ring begging Misawa to wake up, to get up, to do something. While the medics, you know, while they were trying to get him back up and running. And I don't envy him. I would not want to be in that position ever. I was shook enough taking a guy with a dislocated shoulder to the hospital. And that's not exactly a life-threatening injury.
And also the fact that, he was 47 years old and he died in the ring. You know, just unbelievable stuff. They called him like the Japanese John Cena. He was that popular.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Nope. That I've heard.
I thought that was Cima from Dragon Gate. I thought he was the Japanese version of John Cena.
Even so.
Hmm.
Even so, it's just, it's very sad when a wrestler dies in the ring, and even when a wrestler dies, but for a guy like that. And also, by the way, kudos to CM Punk this week.
Yes.
For putting Misawa's name on his wrestling tape this week.
Not only that, I was watching ECW, and I saw a couple of RIP Misawa signs up in the audience, which got on. So I bet those weren't taken away. Because normally if it's something that WWE doesn't know about, they usually take those signs away.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably guarantee you right now Johnny Laurinaitis had something to do with letting those signs go, because as it's well documented, John Laurinaitis is a big Japan guy and spent most of his working career in Japan. Whereas most regular wrestling fans know about America, when they think John Laurinaitis, they think two things.
His son, Ace Football, and Johnny Ace, right.
Yeah.
But, by the way, for those of you who are interested, because, of course, we know Slammiversary is coming up this weekend, TNA Wrestling is showing Year One free on their Video Vault website through Sunday.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of cool because you get to see some stuff from the 2002 era.
And some stuff that would like you to say, how did they last?
Like?
Cheeks?
Okay.
The Johnsons.
Right.
The Ducks. The Hot Shots.
Okay.
Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone?
He was there briefly.
He was?
There for one show. It was like Bizarro World, Tony Schiavone. You know how we normally see with Tony Schiavone in, like, I want to say mid-90s WCW, he'd always wear, like, a suit or something? Tony Schiavone and TNA, as most people like to call Bizarro World Tony Schiavone, blonde hair, a beard, Hawaiian shirt, and I think there was like a band chair in it. I think it was Led Zeppelin.
Kiss.
Oh, Kiss.
That's right.
He had the Hawaiian shirt open with a Kiss t-shirt underneath it.
Good grief.
Yikes. Yeah, if I had seen that live, that would have scared the crap out of me. Tony Hyperbole, what happened to you, sir?
Exactly. So, it's you know, that's some good stuff. Again, the releases of Candice Michelle and Sim Snuka, not surprising either way. Yep. Pretty much.
Oh, wait. Sim Snuka, you said?
Yes.
Oh, if we would have said Manu, it would have been this sound.
Screw your moves!
No. Wow.
That would have been for Candice.
Okay, why screw your boobs? Because he had them?
Yeah.
Well, there goes the power of Randy Orton. You know, the power of Orton compels me.
Am
I allowed
yes.
to make a Randy Orton joke now?
Randy Orton
Say
joke?
That again?
Can I make a quick Randy Orton joke?
Sure, go ahead. We got time.
Okay. I just realized that since the announcement of the new quote-unquote Raw owner came after the Fatal 4-Way, maybe Vince has given up on Randy Orton and sold it to some chump who gave him the money for it.
Huh? Okay.
I saw Raw if Randy Orton was my champion.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good Lord.
That'll work.
Am I that bad tonight?
No. That's okay. You're right. I would, too.
Wow.
But,
Let's see. I really want to do this around the horn thing. Hey, Nikki, can you try to get Trista on the horn?
Let me see if she is around. She's not online.
Wait a minute. What's today, the 19th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I think I know where she is.
Okay.
Is she Ring of Honor?
Working.
Wrestling or working?
Working.
Working.
Airport.
I don't think she's...
No sign of Typho yet.
Any sign of Fourth? I have no sign of Stat Boy.
Well, Fourth is in still is computerless, and he normally comes on at 11 a.m. at 11 anyway.
Yeah.
Chris is not on. I see a couple other people, but I don't want to mention any names.
Oh.
What about Carl and DJ?
DJ's not on. I'd have to text him.
So, looking through, let's see.
Let me see if I can get DJ up on my texting.
Oh, by on PW Insider, there was a very good interview, so audio interview with Taz. So far. He said that he was not fired. He did not leave because Vince was in his headphones because he was there for 7 years. He had decent things to say about Vince McMahon and, you know, not, things like that. And also something else. Wow, interesting. They're talking about WWE's looking for new pay-per-view names. I don't know if you heard about these.
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, Settleman told me last night, and I looked at those and giggled a lot.
I have not seen this. I need to see this.
You want me to give you the names?
I think I got them right here.
I have them right in front of me.
Oh.
WWE Blackout.
Hold it. I got to get the proper sound effects ready.
Okay.
Ready? Let's go right now.
WWE Blackout.
Whoa!
WWE Annihilation.
Armageddon. Why did they replace Armageddon with Annihilation? Aren't they basically the same thing?
Okay. This is my favorite one. WWE Zero Tolerance.
Whoa!
No. Wait. Wrong sound. I hit the wrong sound. It was two things lower. Let's try this again.
WWE Zero Tolerance.
Yeah.
Okay,
how do you get that behind the scenes? They expect to do it with a pay-per-view?
Yeah, exactly. WWE Knockout.
Angle.
They also said that there's a potential for a Hell in a Cell main event pay-per-view. Okay. And
so, like a lockdowns type.
Yes. And it would be WWE Hell in a Cell. Okay. Not so much. Just a buzzer. Just a buzzer. Okay. This one I like, WWE No Escape. That one I like. That gets a bell from me.
Yeah, that kind of gets one for me, too.
Yep.
We have no way out.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
Okay,
yeah.
WWE Lock Up.
Hold it.
That's a rip.
And WWE Rage in a Cage.
That's a winner.
Look, they have like four names for pay-per-views involving cages now.
I couldn't vote for Rage in the Cage only because of The Rock.
Rage in the Cage, Penis and Uranus.
Thank you.
I voted for Rage
in the Cage, Penis and Uranus. It doesn't matter where we wrestle.
I voted for Rage in the Cage, and here's why. It's based on a Sega CD video game kind of akin to Royal Rumble and WWF Raw. It had 20 wrestlers on there. It was a really good... It was pretty much one of the better WWF games to come out at that time.
All right.
Because most of the time, WWF games were bad. Like WWF WrestleMania.
Never played it.
Not the arcade game, but the NES game.
Again, never played it.
VRM, Jason, have you played that?
Which one?
No, but I've played Super WrestleMania, but not WrestleMania.
I played WrestleMania in the arcade. Thank you very much.
No. Wrong one. This one was bad. It was made by Acclaim.
There's a problem right there.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of stuff, they also have a really cool DVD set coming out. I believe the date is going to be, once I get the date up here, in August, called The Best of SmackDown 1999-2009. Three-disc set, 100 Best
Moments
of SmackDown.
I'm trying to wonder what half of this stuff from 1999 to 2002 is going to be. Rock promos, maybe?
Probably. They're not going to be able to acknowledge anything from summer to Christmas of 2002 in the SmackDown 6 for one reason.
Yeah.
$100 that I've saved already.
Actually, do yourself a favor. Save that $20. And just wait until the Survivor Series set comes out.
What, they're doing a full-on Survivor Series set?
I think that's the plan, coming out near Survivor Series.
Okay. I still gotta get the money together for Rumble and SummerSlam, since they have been kind enough to keep those complete. I'm not going to launch another debate here, and I only bring it up because I read 6 or 7 pages, but the most current one on WrestleCraft forums.
That's okay.
We don't go there and exacerbate it.
No. Look, it's okay. It's okay. All good.
There's on that note, on the WrestleCraft forums, there was the most recent one about that one was, which fan's going to be lifted first? Benoit or Michael Buffer?
What? Okay. First of all, number one, that doesn't even deserve to be talked about.
Right. I only say that because one is super serious and one's just financial.
No, but you... Okay. Does the forum itself... I mean, look at it honestly, Robert. Does it really need to venture into a discussion?
Who's the person who posted the topic anyway?
Who
did? Not me.
Okay. The only reason, put it to you this way. It is going to be, I believe, 2 years next week.
Yeah.
Is that right? June 25th, if I remember.
I thought it was 26th.
Take a look.
Either way, it's on the doorstep of the Ladies Only show.
June 24th, 2007.
Oh.
Was when he died. Okay, is when he did that. So it'll be 2 years ago this coming Wednesday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the 2 years on, now we can have some, not fun, but either way, but now we can start to have some very interesting discussions. Okay? 2 years on, look at what has happened. Okay? Dr. Astin has pled guilty, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it should have been gone away for longer, but
yeah.
Damn plea deal.
Okay. right? His family is filing a wrongful death suit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Against Dr. Astin.
Yeah.
We Chris Nowinski started that foundation, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
The concussion study.
That was up and running though before all this went down.
Yes, but it went into prominence.
That's true.
Okay. And if you remember, they did an autopsy. They did a study on his brain, if I remember correctly, his institute. Correct?
Yep.
All right. You also had the wellness policy, which has literally saved wrestlers' lives.
MVP.
MVP, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think MVP is the prime example.
Yes, MVP is the prime example. And then you have, you know, the different style of wrestling, because wrestling styles have changed in the past 2 years, don't you think?
Got safer, supposedly.
Supposedly gotten safer. So what I'm asking is, 2 years on, what is the impact? What do you think will be the overall impact so far as we're coming up 2 years on? Mickey, you can ask Mickey that, you know.
The fact that they are paying closer attention to wrestlers' health, I still don't see what I think was the other key to all this, which hits very close to home to me, and you know this, Jason, the psychological and mental health of these guys.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because it doesn't matter, whatever Benoit was on could have exacerbated the fact that he had been in a funk since Eddie died. And I guarantee you he was not seeking any counseling. He was trying to work it out himself.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that has been brought up by his father is very telling. I'm glad that they are looking much closer at the physical health of wrestlers, and that they're looking at what these guys are taking and trying to keep them clean. But near 300 days on the road, and everything that these guys got to do, you got to look in their heads as much as you can look at the bodies.
Do you think that will eventually come to pass?
I'm worried that it's going to take somebody else snapping before we're going to look at that. I really do. I thought we might get that when Eddie died, because that's really where the wellness policy started.
True.
But the mental side of it really needs to be explored. We've had Benoit. On a lesser extent, we've had Sweeney. Who's got to snap next?
That's right. Larry Sweeney claimed to be bipolar, correct?
Yeah, and he's completely out of the business, and he's gone completely Damian Demento, Ultimate Warrior on us online. Just delusional and nonsensical. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody else.
Exactly. I mean that is an absolutely great point. But overall, is the industry in a better position 2 years on? You don't think so?
Wellness-wise, in looking after their wrestlers?
Yes.
I say yes. From a business standpoint, like financial standpoint, I would say it's on a downward swing, but it's going to pick back up soon. Because I think if you ask around 90% of the people now who are not wrestling fans,
right,
about Benoit, they will just say one of two things. Who is he? And what? And if it's not the Gosselin story, it should be talked about. Sorry, wrong person. As 100% of the people, they're not wrestling fans. They'll say, A, who is that? Or B, oh, that guy, oh, the wrestler who murdered his family. His name's still going to linger through that. But once we further get on, it'll mainly degenerate to who's that.
And that's the sad part of it all. I mean, the one thing that I agree with Mickey on is that as the years go on, his wrestling legacy will be less and less remembered, which is an absolute shame.
And that's why I fight so hard and so vocal about it. There are still a lot of people who cannot separate that one weekend from 20-plus years of some of the best technical wrestling the business has ever seen. And I cannot justify it going away because of what he did. I can't. And I've gone round and round and round and round with DJ on this one, because deep down I think if Vince McMahon had the power, he would put a completely different individual in all that video. He would actually play God for the sake of saving his ass for something that, to be honest, Vince had zero control over. And putting Benoit back in the video is not doing anything to glorify, deify, or even acknowledge the deed that he did almost 2 years ago. I've never condoned that, and I never will. But history has to be respected. You cannot destroy this.
I'm coming around to where your mind is at. Because now I think we're at a point 2 years on where I think people need to remember Chris Benoit, the wrestler. Because I think too many people have just forgotten.
And to be honest, that's where I think the SmackDown DVD set could do us this justice. Give me the Benoit angle storyline, where the two of them were at each other's throats to the point where Stephanie McMahon says, you know what, I'm going to have this tag team tournament, and just to keep you guys from killing each other, you're going to have to work together. That was some of Benoit's best promo work. That was some of his best work. That was some of his better wrestling work, because he was working against Los Guerreros, a pre-neck injury Edge, and a very fresh Rey Mysterio. That was some of the best SmackDown TV in 2002. I had the privilege of seeing some of that in person.
How about this one from 2004?
I think I know what you're going to bring up.
Paul Heyman eats soap.
Oh, Chris!
Guys, Navit, I love my dear uncle to death, but that was the funniest thing in the world. You can't do this to me. I'm a powerful man.
Let's see.
And the lifeguard tower a couple of weeks later. Remember that?
Yeah, I saw that. That was fun.
Trying to find they have a list, a complete listing of the SmackDown DVD stuff.
And Tim Hortons is all out of donuts, eh?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here and giggle like a schoolgirl for a little bit. Excuse me.
That's okay.
And for those that don't know, Tim Horton was a classic, was a 80s wrestler, you know, mid-80s, early 90s. Oh, here it is. I got it, Jason.
What, the 100 moments?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. I got it.
Yeah, Tim
Horton. Sadly, 100 is the spinner.
Here it is, yeah.
We'll have a talk about that spinner when we do Around the Horn.
Okay. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero was number 93. Let's see. Gore, trying to play the game.
The Boogeyman, number
83. Oh, jeez.
The Rock and Sock Connection, number 77.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Head Cheese. Head Cheese, number 71.
What else you got in there?
Angle Lesnar, number 22.
Ooh, is that the Iron Man match?
Noble and Nydia, number 41.
Sorry.
Then they got to have...
by the way, you're right. The one thing about... I'm looking at it, they don't have any... It doesn't look like they have anything of the SmackDown sex. Am I right there? I'm looking at it.
And what's shocking is that number one is the 9/11 tribute show.
That is not shocking. Don't even go there.
I'm just saying.
Well, now I know why Jason's not buying it.
No. Don't go there. I'm buying it because I think that should be the number one moment of SmackDown.
Even with Stephanie McMahon's speech that you told me about?
Because of its historical significance. Do you know how important that event was?
I do, but I also remember your rant about what Stephanie McMahon said.
Yeah, but I don't... Okay. Yeah, but it's one moment in a sea of 100. I mean, it's got Hulk Hogan on it.
Yeah, but I think one moment can go higher than that, the 9/11 tribute show.
Tell me.
Tribute to the troops. I would put that near the top, if not number one.
It is tribute to the troops shows. It is near the top.
Yeah, number 10.
So?
I still think it could have gone higher.
Rob? No.
Look at the rest of the top 10. Number 9.
All right, here's the top 10. Number 10 is Tribute to the Troops. Nikki, you were wrong. There was something involving the SmackDown 6. Number 9 was the supermarket brawl between Steve Austin and Booker T.
Christ, check on Jackass!
Sucker maybe sell an orange!
Number 8, Edge versus Eddie Guerrero, September
26,
2002.
Okay.
So that is SmackDown 6 related. Actually, it is SmackDown 6, Edge and Eddie, the two.
Yeah.
The Rock says, number 7. Now... Why is this so high? Funeral Crasher, November 11th, 1999.
That was during the Rock Austin era, if I remember right.
Yeah, but I haven't... No, this was Boss Man Big Show.
Oh, yeah. Ah, why is this so high?
No, I don't think so. No. November 11th. 1999.
Wait a minute, wasn't the Boss Man Big Show feud after Survivor Series when he won the title?
No.
I'm trying to look.
But number 5, Austin and Angle Unplugged.
Oh. Did it crash home? That's
pretty high. I didn't like it at the time, but it's silly.
Is that the one Jimmy Crack on? And I don't care.
Yep.
Number 4, The Pilot, April 29th, 1999, which was the UPN special.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Rock Triple H, August 26th, 1999.
From the debut.
That's not from the debut. The debut was April.
It was from the when they went to the full series. That was the full series debut.
Okay. Number two, the Big of AR, June 12, 2003. I know what that is.
And what is that?
That is when Brock Lesnar superplexed
the Big Show.
Oh!
And the
ring
exploded. One of the best effects ever in the history of wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, I still, to this day, I contend, Show and Lesnar were the only people in that building that knew that was going to happen.
Let's see here. Oh, here's another good one. Number 16, JBL versus Dollzilla.
I just ripped that off of YouTube the other day.
I'm not afraid of you.
You're just like the Big Show. You're 7 feet. He's 7 feet tall, and he weighs 490,000 pounds.
You're a big lizard.
Pizza.
I bet you play baseball. Oh. Just like the big, you know, the Big Show's like a dinosaur too, and his name is Barney.
Oh, somebody found it.
Oh.
Why the fuck is this not moving? Anyway.
By the way, can somebody clarify for me? I maybe forgot this one. Right place, wrong time, July 27th, 2000.
Why do I sense it's going to have something to do with Angle Trip's staff?
Oh, that, no, oh, maybe that was also when Triple H was showing Trish Stratus wrestling moves.
Oh!
Oh, that's it.
That's it.
What
that's
the
one.
Hell is this?
And the Evil Dog's face was awesome.
Well, here's another good one, number 20. Number 20 with sadly a sad moment, but also a good moment at the same time. Batista forfeiting his title.
Is this the scene that gave us crying
which
Batista
time was
girl?
This? Which
it
time
was after was he? It was after he hurt himself before. It was right before they did the Battle Royal with that Kurt Angle won to win the world title.
I know that, but I'm going, which one is this? Dave has heard as much times as Candice Michelle is.
January 13th, 2006.
No.
This,
and then they spoiled Angle's win. They spoiled Angle's win somehow. The word got...
On SPAC on WWE.com, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Are you going to talk about this in Around the Horn about how WWE spoiled the ending of the three-way between CM Punk, Edge, and Jeff Hardy?
No. I completely, well, we were going to have, let's see here. Let me get my list right here. Yeah. We were actually going to talk about the three-hour wall, but we're going to highlight two major things, and that was not one of them.
Okay. Nikki and I were talking about this after the show, and we're like, wait a minute. Did they just spoil this? No, because I'm watching with a bunch of friends, and during the Jeff Hardy Punk Edge match, they show an ad for SmackDown. And they use the words, well, after CM Punk successfully defends his title on Raw.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And I'm like, huh? Who's the one who let that one go?
I remember that. I thought it was a context issue, but now that I hear it that way, it's like, yeah, that's kind of botch.
that was botchamania. I mean, seriously.
Oh, I got a good
one
here. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I wasn't in the room. Bear was over here that night, and the commercial ran, and I didn't hear it. I didn't catch it correctly, and I was like, did they just spoil that? And he's like, I wasn't paying attention either. Dude,
don't
you're sitting right in front of the television.
Yeah.
Case Palm.
Back to the SmackDown DVD. I found a good one right here. A great moment right here. Sexy Kurt, March 24th, 2005.
Oh no.
Sexy Kurt?
Kurt Angle is Sensational Sherry making fun of Shawn Michaels.
Oh God.
Oh my. Oh.
No, this was great.
This was in the build up to the Mania feud, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Did he like wear the chaps and everything?
No.
No, he just had Sherry come out and shriek along with him, trying to sing the song over. Oh, it was awful. Killian
Sexy
Hall.
Kurt. Sexy Kurt. I'll make your ankle hurt.
He made Killian Hall sound like freaking Olivia Newton-John. Anyway,
But yeah, I mean that's I mean it looks like a pretty good set anyway, to be honest.
Yeah,
looks fun.
It's even got the Billy and Chuck wedding. I think this
should be high. That should have been fairly high up.
Here's another one that should have been fairly high up. The one after that, number 46, the Eddie tribute.
Yes.
Honestly, that one should have been much higher.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean,
well, they'll probably cut out some of the wide shots they did of the group during the Eddie tribute because a certain individual was standing in the front row. I'd almost buy it just for the Billy and Chuck thing because that was spectacular.
Why do I have a feeling I know what number 51 is? Stink Down.
That was
Eddie's cousin with the sewage truck.
Oh,
no.
No?
Could be. You know, it could be.
I was thinking something else.
Rikishi?
Yeah.
Trish Stratus?
Rikishi.
Okay, I'm surprised it wasn't Eddie in the sewer truck on Big Show.
No, it's here. Number 84.
Oh, okay.
That sewage bath.
Okay.
Then we got the gold medal saga.
Yes, there you go. But there is some good stuff there.
Yeah, and there's a lot more that isn't.
Okay.
All right. Let's just move on to a new arrival in WWE.
Potentially.
No, I think they signed him.
They signed him? Yes, Dos Caras Jr.,
who I speculated could have been one of the Mysterios tonight, but that's not.
That was pretty good, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There's three caballeros in the front row, one of them actually being Rey.
Yes. Uno de las cosas es no. Oh, wait, one of these. No, one of these things is not like the other. Yeah. I'm trying to think in Spanish, but yes.
Yes. One of these things is not like the other. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection Sesame Street edition.
Hey, do not mock Sesame Street, thank you very much.
I wasn't mocking Sesame Street. Cookie
Monster showed up for Chris Jericho, and somewhere on the web there's an incriminating photo of Cookie Monster giving Cena the angle lock. So,
yeah.
Oh please, yeah. But let me tell you, it's
me want anyway.
Yes. Yeah, me want title match. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what Jericho.
I'm gonna organize it for you.
I'll say it slow so even you can understand. Yes.
Yeah.
Me want title match. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I just love those Raw Tron shots. I mean, that gave us the. I mean, I've seen that photoshopped so many ways.
My favorite all time one from that Photoshop is the classic Cartoon Network promo, Solomon Grundy Wapad 2.
They also edited one where it had the pressure luck board and Tito Santana doing a victory pose.
No, I liked the big box no whammies board during the draft.
And we were going to do, me and Nikki were talking, we were going to do live commentary on that one, but we decided not to because that would just degenerate to a whole bunch of pressure luck jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I still said stuff like that while I was watching it.
Yeah.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies, and stop.
Stop that, Candace Michelle. Oh, my God.
Oh.
That's a whammy.
Oh, speaking of which, did you hear some guy on The Price is Right this week actually won wearing
a jumpsuit? Save that, Jason.
Okay, never mind.
Because I got that for around the horn.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
I know. Never mind. But, hey, I'll say this right now. I want to go off topic a little bit here, and it's not hard to make me a little infuriated, but it takes a lot to really piss me off. And something Game Show Wise did. And I want to open this debate up to you, Jason, and
okay,
to a lesser extent, Nikki and VRM, because on Big, GSN has a new show called Big Saturday Night, and the game shows that they have on there are pretty good. 20Q and The Money List.
Right, you're talking about Ross the Intern?
Oh.
Is that what's upsetting you?
Actually, the whole Big Saturday Night stuff was, God, it was bad. I mean, this was bad.
Well, I did not.
This was Tic-Tac-Toe 90 bad.
Okay. I didn't see it for two reasons. One, my dish is out. And two, I was away this past weekend, but I did hear about it. Okay.
Oh.
Now, all I'm saying to you is, and you knew you were in trouble when you saw the Game Show Awards this past week, 2 weeks
yeah.
ago, actually.
Yeah.
And you didn't, what's the word I'm looking for? And you saw Ross the Intern. And look, I have no problems with people who are trying to, you know, be, shall we say, out and proud. Okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, but the thing is, he is being an incredible stereotype in the wrong way. You know what I mean? Just annoying.
Ooh.
And I don't care if he's straight, gay, purple, or what otherwise. He's a freaking annoying idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember I was talking to a good friend of mine and Jason's, Chico Alexander, about this. And he said, if Ross the Intern keeps on going about oodles one more time, I'm going to punch him square in the testicles.
Oh, shit. Yeah, exactly. It's just...
And I'd say, I'd hold him. I'd hold him for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I don't think GSN, on certain aspects of their show, takes game shows as seriously as we do.
Hmm.
That's your job, though.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is.
Which, here's how I open it up to everybody. What fan base has it worse when things go bad? Game show fans or wrestling fans?
Ooh, that's an interesting point. Because that, are you talking about as of now, 2009, or in general?
In general, who has it worse? When stuff goes bad, who has it worse?
Well,
and I'll give you a prime year for a great comparison. 1995.
Yeah, the what did you say, the proverbial worst year in wrestling history, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly. But here's the deal with game shows and things like that, okay? If game shows don't do well, you have a 13-week cycle or a 26-week cycle where they eventually will get canceled.
Yeah.
Okay? Wrestling shows rarely do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, how many WWE shows that we know have been canceled? Let's see. Heat.
Tuesday Night Titans.
Velocity.
Velocity.
Heat, Velocity. Think,
Is this Josh DGA Ford?
Yeah, this is he. I may sound a bit echoey. By the way, you missed Jacked Metal. I know you missed some others. The Experience, Confidential.
Yep, Confidential.
Yeah, okay. But I'm... But
so,
I'm
Wrestling Challenge?
Right. But I'm just saying, overall, wrestling has never gone away. They've had cycles. So, in other words, I think wrestling fans have it harder, because they have to live through a lot of cycles, like in the same way soap opera fans do.
Now, for that, I disagree.
Okay.
In the case of wrestling, wrestling has the luxury, in especially in WWE's cases, and during the Monday Night Wars Nitro, that things can be changed on the fly, but that requires the high muckamucks to realize that there's a problem.
We have new callers, ladies and gentlemen. Is this Carl?
Hi, it's me.
Trista!
Wow. Trista!
Hi, Trista.
Hi.
Hi, Trista. Hey, Typho.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I was just about to call you and ask you where you were, Typho.
I'm here.
All right. And yes, I have your number from my switchboard.
Yeah. Hey, Trista, Typho, Nikki, Jason, you want to play a little game?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Can I at least finish my argument?
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No. I just, you know, I'm just saying.
Go ahead, finish.
If the high muckamucks in wrestling can realize that they've got a problem and things are going south, the fans aren't responding, they have the flexibility to at least correct the error. In the case of a game show, they're kind of locked into their formula. So if it tanks, it's going to tank really, really hard. Wrestling can at least grab their bootstraps and say, whoops, that's not what we meant, and can fix it. So I think game show fans have it pretty bad.
Okay.
And with that, we will get to this on another show, because I think it lends to even more credence to talk about. Because we almost had a case where game shows died. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Quiz shows, game shows in general, died.
Right. We're in a pretty much a golden era. Well, not a golden era, but at least an era where you have at least six syndicated game shows coming out.
And with more in the future.
More in the future. I mean, you have Deal or No Deal, Deal or No Deal, Are You Smarter Than Fifth Grader, Will Millionaire, Jeopardy, Family Feud is six. Six syndicated shows in the fall, plus you have Price is Right, plus you have, you know, it's cool.
And you have maybe have an upcoming CBS tandem of game shows, one of them being, which is something me, Joss, and Jason are really looking forward to.
Yes, Million Dollar Pyramid, which I saw the tapings of this week. Oh, is this going to be fun.
No good.
In your opinion, better host, Tim Vincent or Dean Cain?
Okay. From a technical perspective, Tim Vincent. From a on-the-fly sort of wheel thing, Dean Cain.
Okay. With that said, Nikki, Jason, Typho, Trista, let's get on.
It's the first word.
Hi, Forrest.
First.
Well, that happened. Monday night had the 3-hour Raw with some very surprising changes, some not-so-surprising changes, and some great lines as well. But we're going to talk about two things about the 3-hour Raw to start off with. First of all, Vince selling, you know, kayfabe. Sorry, guys, but it's kayfabe. Selling the company to Donald... to Donald Trump. Please get...
Apparently will be running things his way.
Yeah, which means they may be creative's way.
Which means means he'll still do the stuff fans hate.
Yes. By and large, crew, Nikki, Jason, Trista, Typho, you see this having any shred of goodness inside it, Nikki?
Initially, I said no, because I wasn't a fan of Trump during the WrestleMania 23 feud, and I've aired that more than once on this show. My saving grace on this is that it's going to be Donald Trump, not Vince McMahon, over the course of the summer, but this is usually about when Vince disappears, and this time he didn't have to kill himself to do it. Vince is definitely trying something different. To be honest, 20 years ago, this would have been blockbuster. Now, all he's done is snow a couple of news outlets and piss off some big business watchers. So, yes, but not really.
Trista?
I think it's dumb. Like, I don't know, honest opinion. Because, I don't know, like, it's so, I find it hard to explain, but if you're going to pick someone to take over your show, then maybe you should pick someone that the fans would care about, and not someone that's like, we're going to have them involved, and then we're going to make them disappear, and then we're going to bring them back 2 years later, and you're going to remember exactly who they are, even though the star that we put them with is no longer with the company, you know? So the whole thing, maybe if they, like, pick someone more current, then I'd be kind of okay with it, but I think the whole thing's just dumb and a bad move. Bad summer for Raw.
Tyfel?
I think the crowd silence after the announcement Monday night said it all. I mean, it's Donald Trump. I mean, people know who he is, but I mean, when you're watching a wrestling show, are you watching for Donald Trump? I'm not. So, I mean, what exactly is it he's going to bring to the table? Is he going to donate money? Because that's about all he's good for. And he's already on my bad side because he's been in charge of Raw for, what, 5 days now? And his first official move, he drops the deuce. I'm less than thrilled, Trump.
What do you mean by dropping the deuce?
Tim Snuka.
Tim Snuka.
Now crashing on Manu's couch. That's what it means.
Oh.
I hear the legacy rejects are going to share a little one-bedroom apartment somewhere and breathe heavily.
Now, there's a reality show.
Yeah, there
yes!
I am actually going to say that there is going to be actually a lot positive going for this. The USA needs the ratings boost because they're competing against the new shows of TNT. I believe it's called The Closer is one of them, Raising the Bar, and they need a ratings boost, and Donald Trump is going to be it. He will be on for 1, 2, possibly 3 weeks, and a commercial-free Raw is going to be like a live-time pay-per-view, and I think that's going to be something interesting and different and fun. Why not give it a shot? I mean, Trump's not going to be there forever. He just needs to do a little cross-promotion for The Apprentice 3 and have his name on there. And at least he's not talking about Carrie Prejean for another week. You know, why not? And, you know, that's okay. But, look, it's not the worst.
Yeah, Carrie Prejean was bad.
It's not the worst thing that WWE has ever done. It's not the most logically thing that they've ever done. But you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. If it sucks, fine. But, you know, it's no Katie Vick.
I know. Yeah, that's one good thing. It's no Katie Vick, but then again, nothing is better. Then again, nothing is worse than Katie Vick.
Right.
By the way, to steal Tony Reale's job, Closer's been on since 2005.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm saying new seasons of. I didn't say new series. I specifically said new seasons of.
All right. Well,
funny how TNT is the competition again.
Yeah, I never, you know, we never did think about that one. Way to go, Tyfel. Have a point. But let's stick on to this topic a little second. Let's go back in time 2 weeks ago. We have a pay-per-view. Orton was the champ before the pay-per-view, and then after. Batista's the champ. Day later, Batista gets taken out, and legitimate-wise, he had an injury, and he went the surgical route, so he's out 3 to 4 months. The title becomes vacant. We get to this Raw. Orton wins the belt again. Is this a waste? Was that a waste of a pay-per-view match, Trista?
Absolutely. If they knew he was injured going into it, then what was the point of putting the belt on in the first place? Like, I think it would be totally different if he wasn't injured and he was injured during the match, because then it would be like, oh my god, panic, panic, what are we going to do now? But it was announced before the pay-per-view he was injured, which means that creative must have known he was injured, and then they put the belt on him anyways. Like, if they wanted to write him out, then they could have done it at the pay-per-view after the cage match and then have, like, Legacy interfere or whatever. But to put the belt on him knowing he was injured, it's just a bad move. I'm not impressed with Raw at all.
When you're going into a show and you know somebody is injured and you know they're going to end up having surgery because, well, it's happened many times before with the same guy, why would you put a belt on him? Also knowing you're going to put it right back on the person that just lost it. It's pointless, and it's just, I mean, why not just keep your champion strong for his next feud, which, of course, they had Plan B in the back pocket all along with Triple H, so in the feud that will never end. So why not just keep Orton looking strong for the feud, because you know he's going to eat a bunch of pedigrees doing it anyway. So at least let him go in strong.
Nikki?
I didn't mind it as much as you guys, because originally, when the word got out about Batista's injury, everybody's like, oh, it's a work. Especially when we go into the pay-per-view match, and I sat there and watched Dave. He put in his Game Genie codes to make sure he did not look hurt that entire match. So it even made me wonder, is this for real? Then, of course, the confusion. Was it his bicep tendon, or was it his bicep? So I had no inkling, short of the report, whether or not it was real, whether this was a real injury, until Monday when Batista came out and put his hand on the belt while he was doing his pyro machine gun and was very tentative with that arm. That's the only time I even noticed that he was hurt.
Jason, last word.
Not only was this a waste of a match, honestly, I think this is the beginning of the end of the run of Batista in the WWE. I think that his injury proneness, this is sort of a Kennedy-esque problem, and do not be surprised if Batista ends his career before the end of 2009 in WWE. Mark my words.
All right.
I think he's done.
Okay, next up, ladies and gentlemen, we have a sound effect to play for these 9 guys. We have Mr. Kennedy, we have Umaga, we have recently Candice Michelle, we have Sim Snuka, we have Matt, let's see what else we have here. Let me just go through my list here of people. We have Matt Walsh, Dakota Garso, Cafu, John Cutler, Lupe Santiago, all heard this week.
So with that,
ladies and gentlemen, we start summer cleaning. Share one season late, but who cares?
Oh, well, usually we do it late spring, early summer.
Yep.
Yeah, so the fall of these 9, who is next? Trista?
Next. I wouldn't mind seeing Ricky Ortiz go. I saw him on SmackDown tonight. I've never seen him before. I was not impressed. Jamie Noble? Haven't seen him in a while. That's everything. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Those are my guesses.
Actually, that was exactly what you were supposed to do. Typho.
Well, the popular guess every time this time of year comes up is Funaki. And somehow he always dodges the bullet. And I say he will continue to, because he's respected. He's got his spot. Jamie Noble, another one. He's an agent or producer, whatever you want to call him, so he'll be around. The people I think that are pretty much done, I think Jesse, Jimmy Wang Yang, both gone.
Oh, look out.
Well, since you mentioned Jimmy Wang Yang, let's go to Nikki.
Well, I don't, to be honest, even though, you know, yeah, I work with him on the side, he does not get a whole lot of airtime, so, you know, he's keeping his eyes and his ears open for that. Somebody that I'm surprised nobody here has mentioned so far is Curt Hawkins. We haven't seen him since the breakup of the Clones. We've seen Zack Ryder in his crappy woo-woo-woo gimmick. I think Rudy's better going than this guy. Curt Hawkins is probably on the chopping block, and I definitely agree. We've seen Jesse once since the draft. I think he's out the door too, which is a shame. They could have thrown him into second gen. He's a Gordy.
Yeah, but that would require a new stable just for him. Freebirds.
Here is my upset special of the year, folks. You're going to see Matt Hardy released in the next few months. I'm telling you this. Why? Because since he has moved to Raw, his stock has gone down, not up. And he was supposed to, he's one of those guys who you really need to have someone to have him to feud with. He's languishing. He's not doing enough there. And I think that he might be a person that might be released as one of those shock, holy crap sort of moments that you might see there because of that. Don't be surprised if William Regal also goes because he's in that sort of second tier. You know, he's one of those guys who's been around. I don't know. I'm also thinking Festus may go. I mean...
Okay, he is.
You rang.
New underground sound.
Yeah, very good. That's great.
Yeah, that signifies the end of the round.
Wait, before we do anything, I'm surprised no one even considered Paul Burchill. I mean, the guy is a jobber to jobbers.
Yeah, how can any of you guys mention Paul Burchill?
I don't watch ECW.
I think he's safe. He's got his role.
Yeah, he's got his role.
You guys didn't mention him. He's all around.
Wow!
Mutes all around. It's good to be Tony Reale, at least for a day.
You bastard.
All right.
Buy or sell?
Buy or sell time? No surrender. And zero tolerance, too. Remember that rumor that floated around the internet this past week where it told the tale of a torrid love affair between Chris Benoit and Victoria? Greatly exaggerated. It was turned out to be a hoax. I believe the guy's name was Daniel Pena, leader. It was PW something.
Eyewear.
Go on.
It was some news website which credibility was minimal to say the least. He admitted it, and his career is now shot, thanks to Victoria herself for shooting that rumor down. Whose reputation gets hurt more, Victoria's or the idiot who reported it? Nikki?
Now, how is that a buy or sell? Let me just get that clarification before we start.
No.
It's one or the other, Victoria or
the
idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, then the person is in more trouble, the internet reporter. If you get it straight from Victoria, who is a very straight shooter. I have met her. She's not somebody who is going to speak up about something like that unless her reputation is on the line. And with her transition to TNA, this could be something that the internet guy was like, watch this. I'm gonna spike some ratings. That is a bad way to do it. So Victoria steps up and said, sorry.
Okay. The internet reporter is in more trouble, and someone who actually does internet reporting, you got to get your sources right. You don't print rumor, you don't print conjecture, especially when there's one person who can't report about it because she's dead. Bad, bad form all the way around.
No, you got that wrong. Victoria's alive. Yeah. Benoit's the one that's dead.
Yeah, no.
Get muted.
Oh.
Trista.
Who?
Yeah, who gets it worse? The reporter or Victoria?
Hello?
Hello?
You're up, Trista.
Oh, I thought you said Typho.
No, I said Trista.
Sorry. Yeah, the reporter definitely gets it worse. Like, you shouldn't be reporting shit like that unless, like, Victoria herself calls you up and says, hey, I was having an affair with Benoit before he went crazy and killed his family. But, like, who would even do that? Like, I think that's something that not a lot of people would admit, you know? And the dude's a friggin' idiot for even doing that. Like, it's the most random diva, too. Like, there's so many other divas he could have picked. It's obvious why he would pick Victoria. That was a stupid move. He looks like an idiot, and I don't know. He should... Ugh. That makes me angry. I don't know why he would do that, other than to make an ass out of himself. Dude sucks.
Way to put it bluntly, Typho.
Obviously, it's got to be the internet reporter. Because, well, first off, I'm shocked it took 2 years for somebody to come up with a rumor on that. That's one of those things I read back then. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to go crazy, and nothing. Finally, it did, and the guy looks like an idiot. But, I mean, if you believe internet rumors, I mean, I don't. But if I did, I'd still be sitting around waiting for Kane to come out in his DX attire and these Trish Stratus nude pictures to show up when I click the link.
Yeah. That's great stuff right there. Next. Is it just me or has TNA gone back to 2006 or 2005? Because this past couple months we see the returns of Christopher Daniels, Raven, Amazing Red, Shane Douglas, even one of the Dup guys, but he just changed his name to Jethro Holliday. Are these buyers sell these returns being good for TNA, Jason?
I'm buying it big time because what you're doing is you're seeing people who can actually work. Amazing Red is back from a knee injury and is doing some great stuff. Christopher Daniels is getting away from the suicide gimmick and being Christopher Daniels. The other wrestlers are actually wrestling, and TNA is going back to what it based its argument is on for being the Alternative Wrestling Federation, which is wrestling.
Trista.
I haven't watched TNA since the PCS tournament, so I'm a little out of the loop at exactly who Jethro Holliday is.
Murdoch.
Trevor Murdoch.
Trevor Murdoch.
Okay, so he was good. I've always enjoyed Raven. Amazing Red's pretty awesome. Daniel's, like, low. Dude's amazing. Yeah, like, it's a great thing that TNA's actually going back to the wrestling and not whatever the hell they went to after the PCS tournament that made me not watch. And the Knockouts division's looking pretty strong, too, so good for them. Maybe I'll watch them. Maybe.
Typho?
I'll buy it for the most part because Amazing Red is great. Daniels being back as himself is great. And both of them are going to add a lot, especially if they let... They actually push the X Division a lot and let them do their stuff. Raven is one of my probably top five wrestlers ever. And I'm always happy to see him, and I'm very happy to see that he looks a lot better than he did the last time we saw him. I can't say the same for Shane Douglas, though, but I like Douglas, and I think he's good to have around in some role, but that may not be in the ring at this point. But I don't mind him being around.
I think he spent too much time in the teacher's lounge drinking so much coffee.
Oh,
thank you.
Donut.
Oh, I wasn't going to go there. Nikki?
Bye is truly a bye. Now, I admit that I haven't watched much of TNA when the main event mafia frontline thing went kaplooey and we, you know, it started turning into WCW. We needed the fresh, even if it's guys that were there before. Douglas and Raven are both amazing guys on the mic, and they're going to show these guys how that's done. Daniels has wanted to do something outside of a mask, and I have that, not as anecdotal as evidence. I talked to him about this in January in Pennsylvania. Trevor Murdoch's getting a fresh start. Amazing Red, I have never heard a bad thing about him, and now that he's healthy, he might come and get me and say, hey, you know there's something on after Superstars on Thursday nights? So, yeah, bye.
Next up, I have to flip stories because it doesn't look like Jason's going to get into round three.
Hey.
Well, you're 10 points back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So let's talk some, the show that made this, A Household Sound. Yes, we're talking The Price is Right. Did you see this idiot who was on The Price is Right? He came on down, gave the crowd the suck it sign, one person said he looked like the retarded love child between John Cena and Hurricane Helms. I thought he looked like the retarded love child between Pete Gass and Todd Pettengill.
There's a sight.
My brain hurts. Yes.
Gets worse. He brought that spinner belt. He spun it all around while he was playing his pricing game and acted like an idiot playing the pricing game. I mean, this was a bigger idiot than the guy who's kept on bidding XX69 for $2 million on a kitchen island. I mean, granted, nobody could be that bad, but he was right up there.
Yes.
Buy or sell this as a bad example of wrestling fans. Wait. Say that. What? Speak out, Josh.
I'm not on around the horn. I'm going to get muted.
You're not going to get muted. I haven't muted 4 for VRM yet.
I'm not even part of this contest, am I?
All right. Well, he said something to me via private message about it, man. We'll just keep it at that. I saw this as a great example of wrestling fandom, Trista.
I'm embarrassed, honest to God. Like, it's weird, because most people think if they think, you know, sports entertainment, then they're going to think WWE, but then there's so much better wrestling out there, and I like to think I'm a fan of the better wrestling, but then they hear wrestling, and they associate that, and then they see him, and then they'll associate me with him, and that's just embarrassing for everything I try to stand for when it comes to wrestling. Like, I didn't even see it. I haven't seen any pictures, but the dude sounds like a douche, and I don't like him at all, just because of what he has tarnished for what I enjoy.
Hi, Phil.
I haven't actually seen him. I've read the story and everything. He sounds like Vince McMahon's wet dream of a fan. Comes out DX crotch shopping, Cena belt spinning. He's probably got plans to have a Batista son tattoo on his belly button, and that's exactly what I want wrestling fans not to be about, because that's what everybody thinks they are about. And guys like that just keep the stereotype rolling.
Nikki.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have before you a mark. That's not in a nice way. These are the fans that wrestlers want to choke. We like the guys that cheer and boo and do what they're supposed to do, but goofballs like that, fans that actually have their heads on straight, it's sad. It's horrible. This guy should be drug out and shot. Well, tell him something about Pillman. He'll stand still.
And now, Jason?
Yeah?
Go for it.
Well, here's the deal with this. Not only is this a bad reflection on wrestling fans, this is a bad reflection on Price is Right contestants. Because you've got a contestant coordinator who saw this guy and said, hey, this will make great TV. And you know what? It did. Unfortunately for us wrestling fans, you just want to hide your head in shame like an ostrich. Because these are the people who you want to punch out at a wrestling show, who talk about and think that they know everything, that think Hulk Hogan and Randy Orton are the best wrestlers in the universe, that, you know, they think they're smart when they're not. I goodbye, see ya.
Jason, this was right in your wheelhouse, and you know what? Home run.
What?
You're going on!
Oh my god!
Okay. Holy Shinobi Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Trista, Typho, stick around. Nikki, fourth place. It's Rarity. What are you going to do?
Protest before you mute me. You know I'm kicking out the show now.
And Nikki is gone. Does it feel to stick around for a while, Jason?
I'm very happy. I'm very blessed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next, all right. So after two rounds, here's how we stand. Typho, way out in front with 30. Trista of 29. Jason of 26. And Nikki can now go back and tell Candy Charles to turn up the gay a little more. So let's talk about Ring of Honor a little bit. Their pay-per-views.
Yes.
So let's talk about the pay-per-view deal from about Ring of Honor. It's gone. And guess who's going to pick up that pay-per-view deal now? Dragon Gate USA. They're going to pick up that pay-per-view deal. And they're going to do what TNA did in the past. Just pretty much do pay-per-views first and then put out the DVDs. I'm just wondering, what do you guys think about this ordeal, Trista?
I like the tiny little sense of irony that goes with it because Gabe Sapolsky is booking for Dragon Gate and he used to book for ROH and then they get a new booker and they decide not to go through with the deal and Gabe's like, I'll pick it up. And then to top it off, I heard he's going to bring Dawn Marie in as his hostess, which I think is amazing because I'm like a huge, huge Dawn Marie mark. So good for Dragon Gate to like capitalize on this opportunity and to get, you know, 12 people in Canada to watch them every other month. Cause that's what ROH got. So, good for Dragon Gate. I think it's an awesome move for them.
I think Ring of Honor is going to be fine without the pay-per-view deal. Because, in my opinion, they were successful before it. And I didn't think the pay-per-views necessarily helped them any, really. Because I mean, I saw a couple of them and it wasn't a good reflection of what they're about, in my opinion. And I think a new promotion like Dragon Gate USA can get the exposure that they need and run with it, and maybe like TNA did, and just start building as they go. And I think it's going to be a good thing for them.
And Jason?
I actually think this is a great move for Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor needs to concentrate on the HDNet broadcast, which is more important than the revenue because eventually they're going to have to get on a better network to get a wider audience base. The pay-per-views were not monetarily successful and were not storyline contingent like the WWE or the TNA pay-per-views were. So what I'm saying is at this point, I think that Dragon Gate will be successful and Ring of Honor will be successful without the pay-per-views. I think it's a win-win for both.
Yeah. I have to agree with everybody. It's going to benefit Ring of Honor more than Dragon Gate USA. However, Dragon Gate, if you do remember from previous shows where we talked about Dragon Gate, kind of has a black eye right now, but they're healing it up nicely, and I think it'll be okay. So, second cut time, that means we, sorry, Jason, but like a million-dollar password, you need to skew younger in order to stay alive. Any last words?
No, I'll just go watch
my... Okay, good. You're good. So we got Tristan Typho.
Mod versus Mod. Who's getting banned tonight?
Just being the shelter till this thing cools over.
Well, you forget, Tristan, Typho is also a mod.
I know, that's what I said. I said Mod versus Mod.
Yeah,
if I lose, I take all my wrath out on Force. You'll be gone.
I don't want to get the fan wall on me.
Whoever wins, the forum population loses.
Okay, we need to get on with this because we have some stuff we got to talk about. First, CM Punk. WWE in a recent report has said that they're going to let the audience decide if they're going to turn him face or they're going to turn him heel or keep him face. What do you think is the better move for CM Punk, face or heel? 30 seconds, 15. 30 seconds total, 15 seconds each. Trista, go right now.
I think heel is definitely a better move because I think it comes more naturally to Punk because he's such a sarcastic son of a bitch in the first place. And if anything, I think Randy Orton's 2004 face run has taught WWE to not force a face champion down.
Typho.
Yeah, it's always good to go with the fan reaction because that's who's paying, and you got to go with what they want. CM Punk, to me, is a natural heel. He hasn't gotten to show it yet in WWE, and he needs that chance, and he'll shine.
So we both said the same thing. I like that the first time Trista said it, she gets a point.
I felt I said it better.
I'm cuter, sorry.
And we're... Well, I can't argue with that. Trista's cuter. She gets the second point. That means she wins. I'm sorry. I have to just because we got to get pick'ems in. Trista, 30 seconds. Go.
Go me. I don't know. Let's start with the pick'ems. I don't want to waste any more time.
All right, fine. Typho, 30 seconds.
Put the show over. Your show, I mean.
Yeah, I'll put in my show over. Tuesday Night Typho, it's a great show. 1 year anniversary is coming up, 2 weeks. It'll be great.
Is that it?
Listen to the show, and I might ban for it, and it'll be fun.
You do that, and I'm gonna use the computers at the nearby community college to bring that form down like I did the e-news zone.
CDOS!
Let's get to the slamversary.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. 8 matches. We are going to do the pre-show match.
And who is the champ right now?
Foley.
Sadly,
no. No, I meant...
Sadly, it's 4th.
That's right. And I must let you know, I left it somewhere. Damn it, where did I put it?
Someone get the fishing rod.
No.
You have to make a new belt like the Ultimate Warrior's old Intercontinental title.
No, you have to. It's next to Chris Jericho's belt, which he left in the hotel.
Get the electrical tape.
Ooh.
That which is pretty funny.
He left it in a hotel? This is actually new to me.
No, what happened was he was wrestling at a show, I believe, I think in the Midwest, and he forgot to pack it with him when he left the hotel. So he had to use the women's belt as the Intercontinental belt.
Ooh.
And he got ribbed for it pretty bad, which was pretty funny.
That story is useless without pictures. I want a picture of this.
Yes,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, I'd love to see proof of this.
They should have made him have a match with Melina over who gets to use
it.
Okay.
I'll break this
out. Get on with it.
Ouch.
Thank
get
you.
On
10
with
points
it.
Possible for this one.
10? Wow, okay.
Yes, we're going. I mean, it's a big paper. You've got to go double digit.
Okay.
First of all, the pre-show match. It's Rhino and Eric Young versus the British Invasion. Who wins? We start with VRM.
Eric Young and Rhino, there's going to be a little dysfunction there. I mean, come on, Eric Young's a heel right now, and the Brits are on a heel push, so yeah, I'm going to go with the Brits here.
Nikki.
Yeah, British Invasion real quick.
Jason.
British Invasion. They're on a roll.
That boy.
British Invasion, quick and painless.
Krista.
Who the F is the British Invasion?
It is Brutus Magnus, Rob Terry, and Doug Williams.
I have no idea who those people are. I'll agree with everyone else and say them.
Snaefo.
British Invasion. Rhino doesn't win matches.
Oh, gosh, he just resigned.
Get the broom ready to sweep the invasion.
It is a sweep. British Invasion wins. Now we have the second chance match. Christopher Daniels versus the franchise, Shane Douglas. Let's start with fourth.
I'm going to say Daniels. Somehow I get the feeling. Go ahead.
Nifo.
Daniels.
Krista.
Daniels.
Josh.
Daniels, hope to dear God they don't waste their roster spot on Shane Douglas.
Jason.
Christopher Daniels with help from Suicide.
Nikki.
Definitely Daniels.
VRM.
Brooms.
Got it right. I got Daniels in this one. Monsters Ball match. Now this is going to be fun. It's mixed. It's a mixed Monsters Ball match. Abyss and Taylor Wilde versus Raven and Daphne. VRM.
This one is going to be brutal. Although I can see it's Abyss's match, and Daphne is going to eat a black hole slam into the tax. Abyss and Taylor.
Nikki.
I pay a lot more money to see Taylor Wilde take those tacks.
oh, yeah.
Everyone would.
You actually paid $150 for front row seats to see that?
I would, but I'm not going to pay the $100 to put gas in my car to drive to Detroit.
Good point. So who do you got winning?
Daphne and Raven.
Jason.
I got Daphne and Raven, too, and I do think Taylor Wilde's going to eat something. I do. I just my guess.
Josh.
No one go
huh?
Low brow.
Am I up?
Put that out there.
Yeah, you're up.
Considering they're inexplicably pushing Taylor Wilde to the moon and back, I'm going with Abyss and Taylor Wilde.
Krista.
I'm going to go with Daphne and Raven because I YouTube Daphne and her TNA stuff, and I really like it, and I really like Raven. And I don't care much for Taylor Wilde and Abyss.
Hey, Phil.
Taylor Wilde got me my Shelton Benjamin pride back last month, so I can't go against her. Abyss and Taylor Wilde.
Oh, by the way, here's what I think about the Shelton Benjamin pride.
Down, Sparky, down.
That's not very nice.
No, we'll just feed him a Dragon Slayer. He'll be happy. Or a copy of Patrick Wayne's autobiography. Either one works. Fourth. Oh, fourth.
I think Abyss needs closure against Dr. Stevie. I think he's winning this one.
I'm going with Raven and Daphne. Let's talk about some Knockout Women's Championship match action. Angelina Love versus Tara. Who do you got winning in this one, for?
As much as I want to go with Tara, I keep thinking Kong's going to be the one to take the title back, so Angelina's going to win it.
Typo.
I say that Tara wins by disqualification.
Krista.
Tara is Victoria?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go with Angelina.
That boy.
I'm also going with Angelina Love with copious interference from the other members of the Beautiful People.
Yes, thankfully, sans Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
Jason.
It's not Victoria, a.k.a. Tara's time just yet. Angelina Love wins it.
Nikki.
Tara just got there. Angelina retained.
BLM.
See what Nikki just said. She just got there.
Yeah, it never stopped Kurt Angle, did it? Never stopped Christian Cage. But you're right. Angelina Love's going to win this one. So let's talk about a World Tag Team Championship match. Team 3D versus Beer Money. Reminds me I need to buy their shirt. Go, BRM.
I think considering the ending of the incredibly short 8-man tag and the end results, this is going to be Beer Money getting their titles back.
Nikki.
So Team 3D got the belts off of Beer Money?
Yes.
No, they're going to keep them for a little bit. Let's have Beer Money do some chasing.
Jason.
I think Beer Money is going to do a little bit of chasing because also it's not going to be Team 3D that loses. And Beer Money's not going to take it from 3D. They're going to take it from the British Invasion when they beat 3D.
And we have Josh.
3D retains.
Trista.
I guess 3D. Because that's what everyone else is saying.
Oh. Typo.
3D.
As much as it pains you to say that because you got a kick-ass James Storm shirt?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fourth.
Beer.
Money!
Wrong. Team 3D wins it. Okay, now, here's the interesting match. This is Sting versus Matt Morgan. If Matt Morgan wins, Matt Morgan takes Sting's spot in the main event Mafia.
So he becomes the leader.
What?
Yeah. Sting versus Matt Morgan. Who wins fourth?
I get the feeling that the stipulation is just too bold for Morgan to win this one. I think Sting's going to win.
You know you could take the half. Never mind. I forgot a half-point rule in effect. But nobody's taken it so far. Typho.
I would have to say Sting has to win.
Trista.
Stipulation sounds dumb, so I'm going with Sting.
Josh.
I have to say, oh boy. This is actually quite a toughie, but I will say Sting gets out there in a squeaker.
Jason.
There is no way on God's green earth that Vince Russo would allow this to happen. That being said, it's going to be Sting.
Nikki.
Much as I would love to put Matt Morgan over there and Sting have the opportunity to distance himself from the Mafia and start winding down his career, I don't think it's going to happen, so Sting.
BRM.
Yeah, Sting just became the Godfather. Why is he going to give it up to a guy who hasn't even won a single world title?
Yeah, Sting's going to win this one. Now, here's where the matches start to differ. Here's the two-point matches, because they're both King of the Mountain matches. That's right, we have two. The first one is for the X Division Championship.
Okay.
It's Suicide versus Black Machismo J. Lethal versus Consequence Squeed versus Queed. Oh, fuck.
It's okay.
Consequences Creed versus Alex Shelley and versus Chris Sabin. Now, here's the cool thing about this. Detroit Tiger star Curtis Granderson will present the X Division Championship for the winner. So if you're a baseball fan, there you go. Okay, point one. who puts the belt up. I mean, who puts it on the pedestal and wins it? The second one, who's the first to go in the cage?
Who's the first to get pinned? Okay, gotcha.
VRM?
All right, I'm going to go with a dark horse here. I'm going to go with Creed getting the belts. And I'm going to say that Lethal is going to be the first to go into the penalty box.
Nikki?
We're in Detroit. Sabin's
yeah.
Motor City Machine Gun.
Fuck.
And put the belt up there. Now, who are the other three guys again?
Lethal, Creed, and Suicide.
Creed goes in the cage first.
Jason.
Lethal goes into the cage first, but it will be Suicide retaining the X Division title.
Josh.
Suicide's going into cage first, but Suicide will win.
Ooh.
Savvy.
Okay. I think Josh is hedging his bet a little bit with that pick.
Yeah.
Trista?
Alex Shelley will go in a cage first. Ooh, I like that.
I bet you do.
Want to be in the cage with them?
Stop that.
Where's his amp?
Suicide?
No, I'm sorry.
Suicide's champ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I didn't watch TNA. Yeah, I guess he'll retain. No, he won't retain. Let's give it to Lethal, because I like Jay Lethal.
Hey, Phil.
First in the cage will be Chris Sabin. And I'm going to say the winner will be Jay Lethal, and finally, like I've been wanting, the birth of the Machismo King.
And fourth.
I think of Chris Sabin going in the cage first, and Suicide will retain.
I'm with Typha on this one, but Shelly's going to go in the cage first, and we get the birth of the Machismo King. That's the next progression, I believe.
Now he's back in the 80s right now, so go a little bit farther, and it's the heel turn and the King run.
No, I think he started out as heel. Then he became face.
Now he's heel again.
Now, well, kind of. I think he's tweener. But anyways, moving on. Here we go, main event match. Wait a minute, we got another caller here.
Hello?
I could get him in. Caller, hello.
Hello?
Hi, who is this?
It's DJ, what's up?
Hey, DJ,
oh,
how are you?
Hey.
I don't know if you guys were doing picks yet, so I figured I'd call in. My phone kind of screwed up on me earlier tonight.
Okay, you wanted this pick 'em competition?
Sure.
Okay,
whatever.
Quickly.
Okay.
Quickly. Rhino and Eric Young versus the British Invasion for the pre-show. Who wins?
British Invasion.
Christopher Daniels versus Shane Douglas. Who wins?
Christopher Daniels.
Abyss and Taylor Wilde versus Raven and Daphne in a Monsters Ball match. Who wins?
Can you run through that one again real quick?
Abyss and Taylor Wilde versus Raven and Daphne in a Monsters Ball match.
Raven and Daphne.
Angelina Love versus Tara for the Knockouts title.
Angelina Love.
Team 3D versus Beer Money.
Team 3D.
Sting versus Matt Morgan. If Morgan wins, he joins the Mafia. Actually gets Sting's spot.
Sting.
King of the Mountain match. Who wins and who gets put in the cage first? Suicide, Black Machismo, Creed, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin are the people partaking.
Shelley wins. Creed gets put in the cage first.
Okay. Now we're all square.
Top speed.
No, we're not. I hate... Squares and nincompoop. Nincompoop.
I
love him, but yeah, he's just a nincompoop.
And you can find all those in-jokes at the WrestleCraft forums. Just go to www.wrestlecraft.com.
Thank you.
Moving on. The main event match, King of the Mountain for the TNA World Championship. You have Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Kurt Angle. Who wins? Who gets put in the cage first?
Repeat who the four are.
Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle.
Mick Foley, Jarrett, Styles, Joe.
You forgot Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, okay.
We start with DJ.
Okay, I'm going to say Jarrett goes in first, and I'm going to pick the Nation of Violence Samoa Joe to win. He's been on a hot streak. He keeps it going at Slammiversary.
I'm not going to say it yet.
I'm going to say Jarrett ultimately wins because not only is it his match, but it's TNA's answer to SummerSlam, and I think Angle's going in the cage first.
Hey, Paul.
In the cage first is going to be Styles, and I say the winner is going to be Jeff Jarrett.
Trista.
Can I just pick AJ Styles to not win? Because I have no idea what's going on in TNA.
So you want him in the cage first?
I want him to not win overall.
How about this? If you say don't care, I'll give you a full point.
I'll take it.
All right, got it.
I'm winning.
Not for long. Josh?
All right, we know Mick Foley's not going to win. Kurt Angle is, and here's my picks. Kurt Angle goes into cage first. Samoa Joe wins the TNA World Heavyweight title. Jarrett's streak in winning the King of the Mountain when he's in, broken.
I thought this was broken in 2005 when Raven beat him put the belt on the hook for the title.
And all, yeah.
Raven
Jarrett get pulled from that match, like right before?
Oh, never mind. I did screw up there. Whatever, I'm still going by my picks. Joe wins.
Jason.
Joe is majorly hurt. He will not win. I believe that AJ Styles will be in the cage first, and Mick Foley will win the King of the Mountain match, breaking Jarrett's streak.
Nikki.
Let's see. I'm going to steal somebody's version of the pick. Jarrett goes in the cage first, but he's still going to end up winning it with Joe right behind him.
VRM.
Okay, Joe's not winning because he's hurt. Foley's not winning because they're never going to put that stupid stipulation up. Of course, I wouldn't put it past Russo to do it. AJ is going in the penalty box first. And Angle's not going to win because Joe's just going to take him out. Jarrett is going to end up brawling with Foley. So for the first time ever, taking both the Legends and TNA World Heavyweight Championships, and yes, I know I'm being stupid here and making this pick, AJ Styles back on top.
I'm going to say Jeff Jarrett gets into the cage first. But I am going to say, and I think he's due for the title, Kurt Angle is going to win the title. Because, remember, his contract is almost up, and TNA wants to keep Kurt Angle because Kurt Angle has been putting the WWE over recently in a hope to maybe get back into WWE.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
No, I've seen what he's talking about. In fact, I might even be able to find it for you real quick.
Wait, what?
How's this? From Pro Wrestling Net. Kurt Angle praised WWE during a Slam Wrestling interview for covering the rehab costs for wrestlers who have addiction problems. These bumps take a huge toll on people's bodies. Guys used to take drugs, both recreational and medical, to ease that pain. And the WWE has done a good thing to open up drug rehab for all current and past stars. He also commented about how the younger wrestlers have learned from this mistake. Wrestlers today have seen all problems. Their idea of a good time isn't drinking and partying and doing drugs. It's just staying up all night playing video games. Wow. Okay. Interesting.
All right,
I don't want to get that stuff off his nose.
Yeah.
Excuse me? He's got a little brown stuff on his nose.
Well, that's pretty much all we have to cover, so I want to ask everybody this question, since we've got 9 people here and about 4 minutes left to kill, it'll probably take that long. What are your plans for the weekend, BRM?
I guess that means he's got no plans.
BRM, put down the UFC video game.
What's the UFC video game?
Just a random question. What are you planning on doing this weekend?
I'm watching The Ultimate Fighter.
The Fight Night season finale, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct? Yeah.
Correct.
Nikki?
Surprisingly, I do not have a show tomorrow. The league I work for, Unstoppable Wrestling Alliance, has lost their venue for 2 months because they're renovating. So I'm probably going to be meeting up with my friend Victor to help him out with the upcoming science fiction fantasy convention coming to town, Origins, which starts next Wednesday.
Yeah.
A shame I can't go to that.
I'd love to have you down here, Matt.
Jason?
I have a 40th birthday party for a friend of mine on Saturday. And Sunday, of course, is Father's Day. So, you know, Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to, you know, everyone out there.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
For me, I'll be playing Dungeons & Dragons tomorrow night with a boatload of my friends. Otherwise, I'll probably be on Xbox Live. Maybe the internet's, well, you're pretty much able to catch me at WrestleCrap. It's my second home. I swear to God it is. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Krista?
I think I'm going to the movies tomorrow night, and I think I'm going to a casino on Sunday.
Ooh, I didn't know you were a little bit of a gambler.
Oh, I'm a very big gambler.
What do you play?
I just do slot machines, but then come football season, I'm all about pro line.
Oh, you actually, like, bet football and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Good question, but NFL or CFL?
I have no idea what CFL is, so I go NFL. Go Giants.
Canadian football?
Yeah, I don't follow it. I don't really get it. My dad was always like, go Argos. So I'm like, okay.
So who's your football team of choice, or do you care?
I don't follow CFL, but I usually go for the Giants for NFL.
Okay.
Jason, I'm like that, both being from New York.
Oh, hello. No, that's awesome. I didn't know. So what is your actual casino of choice?
The Brantford Casino.
Okay. No, I mean, I know there are a lot, and, like, there's one by Niagara, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Pardon?
There's also one near Niagara in Ontario.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nathal?
I'm going to be moving around very slowly because I have a massive sunburn.
Oh.
But as part of my Father's Day activities with my dad on Sunday, I have to help him set up his above-ground pool, so sunburn part 2 probably on the way, and that'll be fun.
And chop practice afterwards.
Yeah. Fourth, what do you plan on doing?
Nothing much on Saturday. Maybe seeing what big cable mess the Sci-Fi Channel has for Father's Day. I have no particular thing to set with my father, but I'll probably do something with him.
DJ?
I have an uneventful weekend, so I'm just going to recap my last weekend real quickly because it makes me seem like a much more interesting person.
Well, we don't have enough time for that.
It's really quick. Last Friday, I went to Pittsburgh to see the Penguins win the Stanley Cup championship at a bar. And on Sunday, I graduated from The Ohio State University.
Yes, woo!
Hey,
congratulations.
I'm either going to do one of two things. If I'm able to go to this certain place, I'm actually going to go to Olympia to see the Stonewall Youth Drag Show. I hear that's really good. Actually, I got invited to that. I know. And if I can't do that, I'm just going to spend $20, go to KFC, and pick up Deadliest Catch Season 4 and watch that all weekend.
There you go.
So either way, I'm going to see fishnets.
On that note, end the show.
Yes. Yes, and for those who don't get that joke, thank God.
I'm sending Candy Charles to you.
Oh, Candy Charles. Well, actually, the person who invited me is going to go as a Britney Spears impersonator, so yay. And actually, on that note, Stonewall, the drag show, it actually kind of sets up what Washington State's going to be doing this whole rest of this month.
There you go. But we're done. Aren't we, like, way done?
Yeah, we're, like, way done. So for DJ, for Typho, Statboy, Josh Henniger, Jason, Nikki BRM, and especially Trista, join us next week where you won't see any person with a Y chromosome hosting the show. Or anywhere near this show, where it's all ladies
listening. So don't put me on. Yes, I might. Yeah, I might. We might listen. We'll see what's up.
No phone calls. We
yeah.
Do not take any phone calls because then boys will be calling in, and it's
oh,
girls
God.
Only.
No. I know.
Yeah.
No
boys allowed.
Boy, are you gonna hang the sign up too?
Yes.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got cooties, boy.
Yeah, yeah. What? By the way, what do you think of Austin Aries winning the ROH title for a second time?
Anyone but Dragon.
Oh, shit.
You mean Chuck Norris impersonator?
That would be him.
Yeah.
When the eyes of the ranger are upon you.
What's he go by? The greatest man?
Greatest wrestler in the world.
No, I'm talking about Austin Aries. He's calling himself something weird now. Well, not weird, but the greatest man to ever live. Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yep, that is correct.
Something like this.
Something funny.
Yeah.
Anyway,
by the way, just a quick note. Our next show that everyone will be able to do will be the day before Independence Day.
That is right.
Yep.
Fourth of July weekend, July 3rd.
Yep.
And I believe my next actual live wrestling show, and also, by the way, next weekend, the 27th, is the Legends of the Arena show here on the East Coast.
Yeah, in Philadelphia at the arena.
At the arena.
That arena.
That arena.
Yep.
The arena. The card is going to be quite interesting. I don't know if you've heard of it. Since we're in archives already, why not?
Uh-huh.
Let me run down the card for you, which is kind of cool.
Underpants.
By the way, I know Josh. Oh, go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry. Sandman with Todd Gordon versus Sabu with Bill Alfonso with the special guest referee of Terry Funk. Yeah. The franchise Shane Douglas versus Al Snow with Head. Okay. Chris Hamrick versus Crowbar. The BWO
Wait a minute.
Versus
He's finally out of retirement again, Crowbar?
Yep. BWO versus the FBI. Raven versus Justin Credible. Rhino versus Spike Dudley. Balls Mahoney and Axel Rotten versus the Baldies in a South Philadelphia street fight.
Wait, the Baldies?
Yeah.
That doesn't say which members of the Baldies?
No. C.W. Anderson versus Too Cold Scorpio in a respect match. Jack Victory versus Jamie Dundee versus Scott Anton in a three-way dance. Bilvis Wesley versus The Musketeer with original Pitbull Gary Wolf, Queen of Extreme Francine, the quintessential stud muffin Joel Gertner, an induction to the Arena Hall of Fame, and a tribute video to the fallen legends of the arena. And this is actually, there's also going to be a donation made to cancer research as well.
That's good. I heard most of the proceeds are going to go to cancer research.
Yes, it is. And as of now, row one is officially sold out. Row two is $200. Row three is $150. And rows four and beyond are $50 reserve seating. And there's an all-access fan fest at 1 o'clock. And if you guys are on the East Coast and are interested in doing something very cool and seeing these people, all that sort of stuff. Oh, wow. I have some updates on the releases while we're at it.
Right. Oh, good.
Let me play that proper sound before we get that done.
Go for it. Okay, here we go. It was pretty much believed that Sim Snuka had taken the blame for the bump Undertaker ended up enduring when he dove out of the ring against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25, as Snuka was the cameraman who was supposed to catch Taker. Depending on who you speak to, Snuka either saved Taker from death or completely caused the bump to be a near disaster, but still ended up with the blame and was never used again. In the case of Michelle, she was never the same when she returned from a pair of collarbone injuries, and there were some in the company who were upset she was off working on another project while convalescing her most recent ankle issues, and it caught Michelle off guard because she'd received clearance to return to the ring.
I don't think it caught her too off guard if she put on her Twitter that she's free to roar again or growl again and then put a happy face next to it. I follow her on Twitter.
She's free to raise her hands up.
Up, 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 up.
Yes. Oh,
dear.
All eyes on her. Techno, techno.
Space, 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 space.
Out of there.
By the way, didn't we throw Candice Michelle in the room already?
Yeah.
Yeah, she broke her wrist on the way in.
Wait, were we supposed to throw somebody in tonight?
No. Because that was tied into the rumor story, and it turns out he had no part of it. So I am saving that person for the 100th episode.
July 26th, I believe. July 24th, right?
Yeah, July 24th, where I promptly hand you a $25 GameStop card saying you kicked my ass.
Don't lose
July
yet.
July 24th? No.
Why?
I'll be at ROH that night. That's before Dishonor weekend.
Oh, sorry. Listen, I got to go, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Later.
Later.
Take care, everybody. Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
July 3rd, ahoy.
I'm king of the world.